G-minus 42, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Emma McCarthy's public statement, a deliberately rambling one in relation to her usually succinct public proclamations, received nods of approval from almost everyone in the living room as it finished airing on the projector screen that filled the wall before them. "Some of that was beyond evasive," Henry said, the sole exception. "There were some flat-out lies in there. I'm not thinking about anything ethical, but when we start lying, it can get difficult to keep track of what story we're sticking to."
"It's no different from trying to remember what we haven't told certain people," Emma said. "Lies and secrets are siblings, not cousins. I get where you're coming from, but the only thing I said that was a blatant lie was that I don't know what kind of bad news on New Kerguelen Clark was talking about when he mentioned it at the drive-in. That's just cleaning up my own mistake, because I sent him out there without explicitly telling him not to say that. So it was all on me."
"And it wasn't like I said anything disastrous," Clark said, keen to point this out.
"Oh, not at all," Emma said. "You did great that day."
Clark smiled. "And Dad, she covered for me with the whitest lies in the world, so there's nothing to get hung up about." Emma nodded.
"Saying we don't know what the bad news is was the whitest lie in the world, because spilling that would only have caused problems. But I don't want anyone to be under any illusions here. I would tell the blackest lies in the universe if they kept my daughter safe."
Henry didn't say anything, but looked now like he fully approved.
"So, did you all have time to come up with any ideas?"
Emma asked out loud. Billy Kendrick replied first.
"I'd really like to bring in Alessandro Bonucci to help look for more transcripts on Timo's computers, or maybe even to help Leisha draw up a short list of sites to scan from above. If they can see things from the sky, that's going to be better than looking at pictures."
"A flyover could be very illuminating," Leisha confirmed. "Scouting locations beforehand could be very helpful too, and I will gladly work with those chosen to assist in this task."
"Alessandro is the smartest person I know, for working on pretty much anything," Billy went on. "Working out visibility angles and distances and things like that will be right up his alley, if they need to do any of that to draw up an optimal route to check out his short list of sites. Remember Il Diavolo? He's also good at keeping quiet when it counts, as we all know. I mean, seriously, remember Il Diavolo?"
"For a task like this, Alessandro would be an asset like no other," Timo agreed.
"I like it," Emma said. "So, Billy, you and Alessandro are going to help Timo and Sacco with that while Dan and Ta—"
Billy cleared his throat to interrupt.
"No, I want to go to New Kerguelen with them and Sacco," he replied.
Silence circled for a few seconds as everyone who had been there for the brief discussion that led to this decision looked to Emma to gauge her initial reaction. None was forthcoming.
"It's just like you said, they need us, Emma," Billy added.
He stopped talking and very astutely finished his statement telepathically.
"And if we want their help with certain things, we need to stabilize New Kerguelen however we can. This isn't quid pro quo, because it's not that they won't help us while their world is in turmoil, it's that they can't."
"I don't like that one, but I'm with you,"
Emma replied, still speaking aloud.
"And if they're going to be looking for more transcripts or information at New Birchwood too, you're going to be an asset for that. Splitting up makes sense."
"Well, I'm staying here with you and Piper," Clark said to Emma. "There's no splitting up here. It's enough worrying about—"
"Worry is natural, but don't be worried about the architects," Billy said. "I'm starting to think there might be no real bad guy in this grand universal story. Or what if there is and it's us, by accident? You know, just because of what we are. What if it was all peace and love and cooperation on New Kerguelen until the architects found us, and because of our aggression, they feared us? What if they just thought the ends of containing us justified the means of betraying the messenger's trust? Our nature and their interpretation of it caused problems, but that doesn't necessarily mean either of us are bad." Clark didn't say anything in disagreement, and appreciated Billy's effort to calm him down without quite sharing in any of the logical leaps he felt it rested upon. Leisha, meanwhile, and without letting it be known explicitly, appeared decidedly unsupportive of any defense of the architects who had betrayed and misled his kind for so long.
"Anyway, what about me?"
Chairman Godfrey interjected, ignoring Billy's comments and reminding the others of his own rare and hard-to-get-used-to presence in the living room. Do I lie low here until this is done? Things tend to move impossibly quickly on that planet, so it shouldn't be too long, should it?
Emma was glad Godfrey had been the one to suggest staying in Birchwood, because there was simply no way he could have been allowed to go anywhere else, and it was far easier for everyone that he was willing to stay of his own accord. She considered that Clark's presence probably settled him somewhat, given that the two were on good terms and Godfrey still looked at the elder McCarthy brother very fondly for proving himself quite literally willing to take a bullet for him. Dan clapped his hands together.
Okay, well, the quicker we get going, the easier it's going to be, because if things are getting more heated up there by the minute, we need to get there as soon as we can to cool it down. So, Leisha, can you guys bring Alessandro to Fiori Frontieri when you're going there with Timo? He was at the ICA.
I am familiar with Alessandro, so I wouldn't have any problems with that, Leisha said. Emma?
Go,
she replied, granting her final say permission to the alien who had instinctively sought it.
But first, do you understand everything Billy's told you about how he found the transcript at Dort Lutepe, so that you can look for more with Alessandro and Timo? And hold on a second until Clark grabs some transcript reading patches for them.
Emma tipped her head to encourage Clark to hurry off to fetch the patches, since she was holding Piper and Dan and Tara were getting ready to leave. He set off gladly towards the bathroom and its false tile, which hid their stash of patches.
The thoughts beneath Billy's explanation have told me all I need to know about the Earth-based transcript,
Leisha confirmed, answering Emma's earlier question.
Good, she nodded. Then, yeah, by all means, take Timo with you. Fetch Alessandro and go to Fiori Frontieri, okay? I'll be right here all night if any of you need anything.
Clark arrived back quickly and gave the extra transcript patches to Leisha. Clark had wisely brought some for Dan and Tara too, in case they might need them and have difficulty procuring any on New Kerguelen. Before Timo could say his goodbyes, Leisha bid a quick farewell to his human friends and thanked them for their willingness to assist on New Kerguelen. He reiterated to Sacco that he had promised Dan the messengers would do all they could to assist with Piper, ensuring this part was only heard by Sacco, to avoid bringing forth any more questions about the child in Chairman Godfrey's mind, and seconds later, he was gone. Timo, too, was no longer present once the flash filled the living room and faded just as quickly.
No lease,
Piper said like clockwork. Dan bounced her gently in his arms. He'll be back pretty soon, and once I leave with Sacco, Aunt Tara, and Billy, we'll all be back soon, too.
Emma,
Tara began, eyeing her carefully.
Are you really okay with us going up there even when things are so heated?
She asked, surprising her sister with the question.
Take yes for an answer,
Emma replied. Dan chimed in at this point. Tara, you can stay here if you want to, he said. Really? Me and Billy can-
Her presence is far more important than you appear to realize,
Sacco telepathically interjected.
And you'll keep her safe, Clark replied just as silently. It wasn't a question.
Like my own life depends on it, the alien promised.
Henry McCarthy blew air from his lips very loudly, growing increasingly uneasy. He watched as Tara and Clark embraced ahead of the former's departure, and felt emotion growing as Dan and Emma did the same thing with Piper smiling between them.
Be safe, son, he said to Dan.
Dan nodded, first at Henry and then the similarly concerned Clark. Sacco walked to the spot near the kitchen from which the messengers most often conducted their remarkable teleportations, with Billy first to stand at his side. Tara went next, kissing Clark one last time and then hugging Emma and Piper. Dan was last to leave, but not due to any great feelings of hesitation.
I'll see you soon, darling, he said to Piper.
Dada, go?
She replied, surprising everyone with both a clear inflection and a new word. Emma smiled and kissed her on the top of the head.
Dada and Tata won't be gone for long,
she said, hoping beyond hope she was right, as the flash consumed her vision and carried her husband and sister to a distant world of chaos and tension.
They'll be back soon. Although no one said it, none of those who remained in Birchwood were anything like so confident in Emma's words, herself included, as they had been in the past.